Sniffles, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction by Moss Pebble Sharp, read by Tasmi, rated Jen. Relationship, Rodney / John, as well as Ronan and Taylor and Rodney and John. Additional tags, sickfic, quarantine, colds and sniffles, pining John. Notes include that the story was written for me, Tasmi, where Moss says, a poorly Tasmi just said, okay, I want fic where all of AR1 is sick, with a stupid cold and quarantined together, nothing serious, but they just all hang out sick. So I wrote this little ficlet. Feel better soon, Taz. P.S. I stole Dr. Bevins from you. Hope you don't mind. I think I got a worse dose, Rodney complains. John looks over at Ronan, shivering on the cot, and raises an eyebrow. You sure about that, buddy? My head hurts. My sinuses hurt. I have a migraine. I might possibly be dying. That's good, John says. Rodney looks crestfallen. No, buddy, I mean, you're bitching. That's good. You go quiet when it's bad. Do I? Oh. Damn. If John's head wasn't full of cotton and wool, he wouldn't have given away valuable intel like that. It's only a cold, but colds suck. And they brought it back from Earth, so Atlantis quarantined them on arrival, and that sucks worse. Tayla is sitting cross-legged on her cot, pretending to meditate, a neat pile of cloth handkerchiefs beside her, and a crumpled pile of used ones on the other side. She's sweating and wheezing and looks the least composed John's ever seen her. It's hitting those two worse. They've never had a cold before. Rodney's gone quiet, but he's not play-acting, just thoughtful and thoroughly miserable. He glances at Ronan, who really does look feverish, and takes one of his own supplies of hankies to mop his brow. You see, that's what John likes about Rodney. Just when you think he might be the most self-involved ass in the universe, he does something so sweet. Is he going to be okay? We've killed off half of Indigenous America exporting our viruses. He's genuinely worried. McKay's been mulling the consequences of their actions rather a lot lately. That new shrink who came back to Pegasus with them, Dr. Bevins, might be helping him too. He's a little softer lately, and John likes it. And he likes having his friend back after his emergence from the heteronormative disaster bubble that was him and Keller. He hadn't expected it to be Jennifer coming out as queer, though, and settling down with Miko. He'd kind of hoped now DADT was off the books and he could be a little more open that Rodney might catch on to his flirting. But no. Feel like shit, awaking Ronan grumbles as Rodney cards fingers through his shorn hair. You got the worst of it, Rodney says, and John smiles enough to make his stuffed-up face hurt. I am perplexed by how my body can produce so much mucus, Taylor complains, wiping snot down her scrub's top before picking her hand of cards back up. John pulls a face, but they're all beyond propriety by now, after 5 days in close quarters. One room near the gate with 4 cots and a table, a tiny annex bathroom where they keep the hot water running for the steam. He's got a mug full of Evan's secret recipe spicy chicken soup, hot enough to make an impact on his dulled senses. It's soothing, and a reminder that Lieutenant Colonel Lorne will take care of everything and everyone like the mother hen that he is. John and Ronan are murdering Rodney and Taylor at bridge, which makes a nice change. He hadn't expected them all to take to what Rodney initially dismissed as posh boy game, but it's proved a useful diversion in prison cells, stranded jumpers, and the often empty times between missions. It's a good way to teach silent communication, a necessary skill off-world. Grand slam, no trumps, Rodney bids, excluding smugness along with his slight wheeze, eyes sparkling at Taylor. Oh, it is on. Taylor and Ronan tire quicker and leave Rodney and John to play chess, retiring to the 2 beds they pulled together on day 3 and cuddling up like 2 cats. John looks at them wistfully. If they were in the field, if they all needed to keep warm, he'd have an excuse. But here? What if you asked for what you want? Ronny says softly as he takes John's queen. John tips his king and looks at him carefully. He preoccupies himself with packing away the pieces inside the folding board. He doesn't know what this is, but oh God, he knows what he wants it to be. Maybe I'm tired of waiting for you to ask, John. John's heart drops as Rodney walks away to his cot, but instead of getting into it, he drags it next to John's. Let's start with cuddles and figure it out from there, Rodney says, as if it's easy to say. And John stands, frozen to the ground, unsure if he's capable of... Oh, come on, Rodney says bossily, grabbing John by the hand and squeezing it. Colts suck, but the one thing we have is time together. Let's not waste the moment. John lets himself be moved. He pulls down on the bed next to a wheezing, snuffling Rodney, who has blotchy cheeks and watery eyes and smells a little ripe, and has never looked so appealing to John as in this moment. He turns onto his side, mirroring Rodney, shyly takes him by the hand, squeezes. Then his heart lurches in absolute terror that his guards come so far down. He buries his face against Rodney's chest, Rodney's arms coming tight around him, and he slowly settles. Maybe he can have the more he's thinking about as Rodney's body presses up close. But right now, he'll take the comfort and the closeness and be thankful for it. He drifts into a deep and dreamless sleep. The end.